Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, our guest, Genevieve Gorder. Genevieve is the host of Town Hall, which is on TLC, 10 o'clock Saturday night. They've been pumping the bejesus out of this show. I mean...
Oh, you've noticed?
Yeah, I noticed you hanging on a big paint can. I've seen advertisements in magazines. I've seen them advertised on not only TLC, but other like-minded networks. It's been a big push. Genevieve, you know, from Trading Spaces. Oh, where do we start? I'm a big home improvement guy myself.
Are you?
Yeah, that's my thing. You know anything about building?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, I do.
You do? I got to warn you, Ty Pennington came in here and said he knew something about building. He knew something about bongs.
Well,
he didn't know anything about building.
I know Ty Pennington very well.
He doesn't know anything about building.
I know about building.
He doesn't. Thank you. Let me explain something.
Growing up doing this stuff.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You want to stump me?
No.
Try to stump. Try it, please. Try to stump him. Just anything.
With home improvement, anything?
Yeah,
construction.
Building, home improvement, it doesn't matter.
Let me see.
Well, you can think about it for a
heating,
minute.
Heating, air conditioning, electric.
Give me a second.
You can think about it. We'll talk amongst ourselves. I don't want to put pressure on you. I don't want to get you.
No pressure felt.
On the defense. You seem nice, unlike that Benedict Arnold.
Ty
Pennington.
Was he on the defense while he was here?
No. He was fine. He just doesn't know anything about building.
He's a carpenter.
He's not a carpenter.
He can build furniture.
That's not a... Okay. Look, I know I sound like a pain in the ass, but Drew's the same way with the imposters that are on TV.
The Doctor Imposter.
Me too.
Everybody's supposed to be something. They're not.
That's why I started my own show.
Ty Pennington looks good with his shirt off. He's not a carpenter. He might be good at whittling a chair or something, but he doesn't know what layout is for framing. He doesn't know about treated bottom plates and header stock. He doesn't know any of that stuff. He doesn't. You can't be a carpenter without knowing the codes. Yes?
Well,
yes.
Carpenters and builders are different professions.
Well, look, first off, carpentry means you can build a house.
You do finish.
In my estimation.
Okay. Carpenters for me is more like finishes.
Not put glitter on a hobby horse. Thank you.
I was fed up with people who aren't really what they
serve.
The
people that pretend to be design.
Yeah, because it gives design a bad name. And that was very frustrating. It doesn't give me a lot of credibility being in the company of those, those imposters.
Give us a little background on yourself, Genevieve. How'd you get involved with Trading Spaces, which I'm guessing was your big break?
I guess it was. I was a designer since I was 19. I was working as one. I was working at MTV probably around the same time you guys were for a while.
Right. Probably making the same amount.
Yeah,
too.
About $2 a day.
No doubt.
She was an intern. We had our unsuccessful show. Same money.
Oh, cheap bastards.
We got a rain slicker out of it, though, I think.
Yeah, we did, actually, yeah.
Yeah. They were great, though, around Christmas time. You get, like, one slipper. It was awesome.
Next
but you get to go to the party. And that was the payoff.
No.
That's what they said.
Even that,
you get to go to the party?
Produced by somebody else. It was our producers put the party on.
Oh,
even that was a
perks.
Tough ticket, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't that great.
Let's have a brief sidebar here for a second. We, of course, would get to go to the MTV Music Awards and stuff, but the tickets were so crappy.
Were you seat fillers?
That people would go,
no, those were good seats.
They go, what are you guys doing up here? Is it doing some kind of a stunt where you run down to the stage to deliver
it?
People are like, what?
Yeah.
Good place to work when you're 19, a little older than that, and it doesn't work.
No.
It's too cheap.
No. But so you started MTV.
I grew up restoring old Victorians with my family in Minneapolis, where I'm from. So we would do them from the ground up. We didn't build them, of course, because they were built a long time ago, but restorative stuff was something I was doing when I was five.
Wow, I love your dad. I'm picturing him like Merlin Olsen from Little House on the Prairie.
I wish he was.
Bearded, husky, strong hands.
He was a good Norwegian man.
Yeah. What did he do? Was that what he did for a living?
No, my dad really was one of those guys who thought they were too smart.
Uh-oh.
That they shouldn't ever hold a job for too long. You know that kind of guy?
Yes, we talk about those guys all the time.
Yeah, they can go to school. Well, they are
very smart.
They're brilliant.
They can
ace a test and never go to the class.
Yes.
But they think they're too good for school because they're entitled to things coming to them automatically because
they need to work because they're so smart.
That's my papa.
End up sort of becoming a little bit blowhard.
Yeah, that's my dad.
Yeah, let me.
Always way left of center, too.
I got to say
way left.
But hilarious. Way left. A lot of talk
about how great Canada is.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I got to say this to everybody.
I'm marrying a Canadian, so watch out.
No, I don't have any problem with Canada, but it's not the world's greatest country.
The way your dad would think it was.
Yeah. They have health care for
everybody. Right, my dad could have been a socialist easily.
Yeah. Here's the whole thing with all you so-called pseudo-intellectuals over there think you're too cool for school and too smart for the room. Here's the thing. All you can't figure out how to make money. And if you could... that would make you smart, but you can't. You can't be a genius and can't figure out a way to make a living. You can't be both. Because here's the thing. Just hold on a second. What if we just forget about this planet? Let's just say we're on another planet, the Sneetches, Drew. Let's say we're out with the Sneetches. And the Sneetches have this stuff called Globo. And Globo isn't good for anything, but it can get you everything.
Right.
It can get you cars. It can get you transportation, get you vacation, get you security, roofs over your head, bowling alleys in your house. It gets you education for your get you everything. It's Globo. Gets you everything.
Yes.
Now, you're a genius of Sneetchville, but you can't figure out how to get a chunk of Globo. Mm. Still
a
genius?
Now that you're not willing to work to get the chunk of Globo.
No, well,
because Globo
you just announced
no you're
a genius.
Globo belongs to everybody else, but not me. I'm too genius.
I would argue that the ultimate genius is the guy who figures out a way to collect the most Globo.
But he's a genius of many sorts. Prince.
Yeah, your dad's a great guy.
Prince, great musician, genius.
Mm-hmm. But he's...
cook me a good meal? Probably not.
No, but he's figured out how to collect the Globo.
But aren't geniuses really underdeveloped in every other category except for the ones that they're genius at, usually?
They socially have different.
Yeah, now you're talking about autism or Asperger's or something, which is true. That does happen that way, but it doesn't have to happen.
All right, let's keep going. Let's get off the rails.
Let's go take some calls.
I don't want to take some calls.
Come on, break it down.
I want to find out what's going on with Genevieve.
All right.
So
I'll wrap it up really quick.
MTV. Now, how did you get on to TLC?
And
my God, this home improvement stuff is going through the roof now, Drew. Where was everyone 10 years ago when
you
I was screaming
when you
about
declare
this?
That it was the thing of the future?
We're waking up. America's waking up to design, which is good. Actually, I was in MTV I worked there all through college. I went to the School of Visual Arts in New York City, mm-hmm. studied design, mm-hmm. and then I left for Europe for a while, came back to New York, was working at another studio.
Did you study design in Europe?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I worked mm-hmm. in Barcelona and mm-hmm. Amsterdam for mm-hmm. a long time,
mm-hmm.
and then came back, and I designed the Tanqueray 10 bottle. It's gin.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Drink it, but I designed it that year. This is something graphic designers would know, but anybody else could care less.
Yeah, well, I like my Tanqueray gin.
Well, that's the year that Trading Spaces was looking for designers, and it won an award, so they wanted designers from every facet of design. So they chose me, and I was like, no way. You know, no way. Interior design is for really wealthy people. It's for ladies on Park Avenue who mm-hmm. have nothing to do, and it's designing women, you know, sitting around drinking mint juleps and talking about nothing important.
I agree. Let's take some calls.
Thanks for your interest.
No, I see. No, yeah, but you said no. It's for the masses.
Well.
It's for the peoples.
Well, that's what changing rooms and trading spaces is.
Right.
And thus the design extravaganza on television today.
Town hall.
All right. Now, have you? Can you stump me? By the way, have you thought of any? You got any stumpers?
Do you know what a chase is?
Yeah, I do know what a chase is.
What?
Chase is where you would run. Well, I would call a chase inside of a soffit, essentially, like if you're running wires, speaker wires, or something like that. That's a weird little stumper. I had to think about it for a minute. You would build a soffit. Let's say if you had
around a chase.
Chase is like something that runs wires?
Chase is like an empty area that you could pull wires or pull venting or something like that.
All right.
Chase. What else you got?
Like, ask him how to hang a door or how to create heating floors in or
that
something.
Stuff.
Yes, I do. Right. You haven't watched Town Hall, obviously.
How to hang a door.
Well, they cook that stuff. Come on.
That's not interesting.
You want to talk door hanging?
That's another show.
What do
Boring
you got?
Bit.
Yeah? Yeah? What size hinges? What size hinges exterior?
What size? I don't know.
Huh?
You got me.
You don't know the exterior hinges?
No.
On a door versus interior?
No.
You know what NRP hinges are?
No.
You know why you would use NRP hinges?
Why?
NRP is non-removable pins. If you have doors, you have French doors that swing out, and the pin knuckles on the outside, they'll knock the hinge pins out and take the door off.
So why are you sitting in a radio studio?
I don't know what I'm doing here. But don't tell me you know about doors. How dare you?
I know about finishing doors.
All right. Listen, at least
I'm a designer.
Yeah, you're a designer. You're not Ty Pennington, who comes in here claiming to be a carpenter.
I know a lot about building, but I'm not a builder.
All right. Drew?
I know nothing about any of that stuff.
That's right. You're like Sergeant Schultz.
Well, at least we're all honest in this room.
No, listen, I don't mean to get on you. You're a designer.
That's what I am.
Yeah. That's right.
No, you mean,
and you're vivacious.
You want to take me on design? Go for it.
All right. I don't know how you describe that, though. How do you describe that?
How do you take it on? Yeah. How would you ask a design question?
Well, how do you challenge? It's the same thing as building. If you want to challenge me on anything, finishes or texture or lighting.
But how do you verbalize it? Do you know what I mean? Design.
I can't tell you what the question is.
If you were going to stump somebody, what would you ask them?
If I were to stump something about design, I could do design history, which is always something really good.
That's what
good.
I figured.
Yeah, but that's...
It's just about as interesting as hanging a door. or I could, you know,
but
ask
knowing
about...
more about design history doesn't make you a better designer.
No, the more you know, the better you are at anything.
No.
Yes.
Look, all the idiots I work with know more about sports than any guy in professional sports. Doesn't make them a better ball player. Thank you.
Well, yeah. It's not a better ball player. I'm not a better chef because I know more about design, but I am better at design if I know more about it. If I know more about the world, I'm better at whatever I do.
I actually agree with her on that.
No, it helps, but tell that to everyone
for a skill that is not exclusively a brain skill, it doesn't apply.
All right, I'm saying to Genevieve is, how do you have a design competition verbally?
Yeah, I'm curious. How would you stomp somebody on a design question?
I guess,
question?
You know, like how do you do this? How do you put on
like
a
what?
Venetian plaster finish? You know, how do you
with
do
a
this?
Trowel, with
how
a smooth
you,
metal trowel.
I mean, it's really an interesting conversation,
right.
But if you want to challenge me on
all
anything,
right.
You can go for it.
All right.
I'm fascinated.
I got to think design, though. But I told you how to put on the Venetian plaster, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
You put on with the metal trowel.
Well, that's how you apply it, yeah.
Yeah, and then you rub it down with the metal trowel.
You apply it with the metal trowel, and then if you want to add dye, you have to mix that in before you do that, and then you put it on the trowel, smooth it out, wax it, polish that, get the right finish, blah, blah, blah.
All right, I'll give it a trowel finish.
She's the color person, don't forget. She has colored everything.
All right, Andrea.
Yes.
22?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I've never had a relationship longer than 3 weeks. Since I think I was in eighth grade, my last, like, long relationship. But
22.
Anything you want to tell us about your upbringing that might have led to that problem?
You're
fat.
True,
no,
please.
I didn't say that.
Please.
By the way, people think, really believe I say those things.
I know, that's why it's funny.
Well,
Amanda? Yeah, I mean, Andrea?
Andrea.
No, I wasn't molested, but...
Were you neglected, abandoned?
I didn't have a father.
Okay.
I mean,
there you
I
go.
Did until I was seven, and then he let my mom.
Right. So that's abandonment. Abandonment is the thing that you then act out in this relationship.
He left at seven. Sorry for cutting you off. But I think worse than not having a dad. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're attached to him, and then he vanishes. And so now you have this unfinished business. And certainly your brain now is attracted to people that are like your dad, because that's who you love and wish were back in your life. And guess what? Somebody that's like your dad is somebody who's abandoning.
Dysfunctional.
Somebody who's going to leave you. And if you're with somebody who's real, who's actually available for a relationship, but by the way, what you'd find was not like your dad, you couldn't tolerate that. So you'd sabotage that and you'd take off.
When your dad took off, he never came back?
Well, no, he just left.
And you never saw him again?
I seen him at a funeral, like maybe a couple of years later.
He sounds like just a delightful gentleman.
Yeah. What do you remember about your dad? What were some of the qualities, the good things?
I don't really remember that much stuff. Just watching, I don't know, just hanging out with him, and I don't know. I don't really remember. I was seven, so I don't really remember.
You can remember stuff when you're seven,
right?
When you're 22,
you do,
especially.
You do remember.
Well,
go ahead.
Just you know, fun stuff, I guess, watching TV and hanging out with him.
True. What are you getting at?
Well, what I'm getting at is, A, she's avoiding the feelings associated with what Genevieve's question is, which is a perfect question. And secondly...
That was a good question, Genevieve.
Yeah.
I know we got off
cheers,
the start,
cheers.
But that was a strong question.
And that what she remembers is being with him. What she misses is being with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to make sure that you don't get in your relationship is being with somebody.
All right.
You
so,
don't get anybody, you get 3 weeks, and that's it.
Andrea.
But how can I get over that, though? How,
well,
how
yeah, therapy.
Get a little therapy. And then start chipping away. I mean, have a 4-week relationship, have a 5-week relationship.
And
get a little better.
Don't go for guys that remind you of dad or that you're super attracted to. Your attractions are going to be distorted.
Yes.
You don't trust your attractions.
Andrea, my dad left when I was 13, and I had the same problem for quite a while.
Mm.
And you look for all of those good things that you remember about your dad, whether he was really funny or he was really smart or if he drank a lot, whatever. Some of these qualities tend to show up in the boyfriends that you keep afterwards.
We get to drink a lot.
And then they leave. I've had a lot of those.
Yeah.
But you have to go for... Unfortunately, you have to stop looking for the bad guy and start looking for the good guy.
Did dad come back? Or did you just go off to Canada to blow hard?
My dad?
Molsonville.
Dad didn't come back.
Oh, really?
Uh-uh.
Now you're a big TV star, though, and he wants back in your life, right?
He's called.
Sent over.
Oh, really?
Let's bash him.
Wow.
He deserves a little bashing here.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Far be it from us. And I bash my own family. Frankly, I'm so tired after bashing my own family every night.
You
I really
bash
don't
mine.
Have energy for others. But I really do want to tell people it's okay to say that people did things that are wrong and hold them accountable for it. You know, people do a lot of apologizing, like, well, it was a difficult time, or you don't know how you would have reacted. No, that was wrong. And I'm not saying, and Drew and I have discussed this many times, I believe it makes you a bad person if you do bad things. People are like, he's not a bad guy, but he killed his wife. I'm going to just go ahead and call that a bad guy. That's me.
Yeah.
And if you do bad things, you're a bad guy until sort of proven otherwise. You can sort of redeem yourself. You could go to, you know, Nicaragua and feed the hungry for 20 years and maybe get out of the bad guy category. But as far as you go, he's a bad guy. What he did
was
wrong. But here's
the deal. Now, it's possible that he was in his disease of alcoholism. And is he in recovery now?
I don't think so, because I think one of the first steps is really contacting.
Let's bash him.
Yeah,
let's go after him.
That's what I'm thinking.
He's not responsible for his disease, but he is responsible for his recovery.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's that.
That's heavy, Drew. All right. Well,
but Andrea, there's hope.
There is. There is.
It takes time, but you got to look for the good guys.
Well, why don't we ask Andrea if her dad was an alcoholic too? Because
doesn't know.
Yes, she does.
She's going to defend him. Andrea.
Yes.
Was your dad an alcoholic?
Yeah.
I told you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. See? So there are programs.
Got a sixth sense about these
things. If you want to change internally what goes on with you, there's a free program called Al-Anon. You can go there, get a sponsor, work the steps, and you will magically be attracted to a different kind of person.
All right.
Right?
Laura?
Yeah. That's
Hi.
True.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
I am 21, and my boyfriend lives in Phoenix.
What's up?
Well,
that's affectation.
I think she's just trying to be quiet.
Yeah.
Is there somebody else in the house?
Yeah, I can go. Sorry, hang on.
No, you don't have to go anywhere. Just go ahead. Drew was getting that breathy Marilyn Monroe thing.
I was getting
stepdad
like
sawing logs
disease.
In the other room.
What, Dad?
Pulmonary disease.
What, Dad?
I told you Dad was around.
I'm talking to somebody.
It's like 1 o'clock.
I got to go downstairs.
No.
No, it's not.
He can't even imagine who it is.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to put him on the phone with us?
You can put your dad on the phone.
Dad thinks it's Lycus.
No, Dad, it's Loveline. They can't play a song for you, Dad.
Thought someone was in trouble for a moment there.
All right.
That sounds like a delightful gentleman. Another delightful dad. This is a delightful dad night.
Well, I want to know who he thought she was talking to.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're going to hear about right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he thought I was talking to my boyfriend.
All right.
Where's
let's
my
hear
bourbon?
About your dad sounds like a fan of your boyfriend.
No, he caught me was talking to my other boyfriend years ago at like 2 in the morning, and he was harassing him, so.
Hey, Laura.
Yeah?
One quick question.
Okay.
21, right? You're 21?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing at home?
Actually, I'm living away from
home. Is this Chris?
Right now, but come the middle of May, I'm going to be moving back home.
Wait.
Oh. I couldn't even track that.
I don't care. What's your question? Oh, Engineer Chris?
Engineer Chris.
Oh, at 21, he was still in his mom's womb. Are you kidding?
And he was crawled back in. What are you talking about?
He crawled back in. Yeah, he stayed there.
He's just emerging recently.
No, he wasn't even born at 21 years. He was born at like 23 and a half. All right, go ahead, Laura.
Yeah, sorry. I'm home painting a room and a bookshelf and whatnot with my dad.
That's good for you.
That explains
you
everything.
You can do it.
What color are you painting it?
The room is actually like a lilac, and the bookshelf that's built into the wall is like a berry color.
Whose room is this? Why are you painting a room in a house you're not going to live in?
I'm going to be coming back home in May, but this is my old bedroom. It's getting turned into a guest room.
Okay, got it. So what's going on?
I am actually, my boyfriend is 20. I'm going to actually be 22 in, like, just under a month. Like, I think it's one day under a month. And, I was thinking of...
Yeah, who cares? Keep going, would you? Like, none of us...
Strange detail there.
Boy, I wish, Drew, I was 22, 18 years and 4 days ago.
Don't pay attention to them. I'm listening.
Jesus Christ.
Keep going.
You must be good looking.
With my boyfriend, but he's technically he's in Prescott, Arizona.
They're living together.
No. But he's in Arizona and you're in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
How does that work?
Very difficultly and a lot of money on planes.
Okay, so you're not cohabitating, you're just visiting each other across the country.
Yes, but okay. I'm considering cohabitating with him come August.
Considering.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And how's the relationship going?
It's going great. We're at 8 months, and we were friends for a year before, you know, we got interested in each other romantically.
How much time have you actually spent together? How many days face-to-face have you spent in the last 8 months?
Easily over a month, probably near 2 months, because every time I go down to visit him, I visit for a week.
All right. Okay. And it's working. What does he do for a living?
Right now he is...
Right now. Bad sign.
Oh, that's trouble.
He's 22, you guys.
Right now.
I'm going to be 22. He's 20.
Oh, no. She's one day in a month.
Okay, right.
He's going to school to be a pilot right now.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't qualify for the right now comment.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't qualify for the what?
What do you mean? What kind of pilot? Commercial pilot?
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania?
Wait a minute.
No, he's in Arizona.
His parents are paying for him to fly a Cessna.
Actually, he's passed a Cessna, thankfully.
but somebody's paying for him as a hobby to go fly planes.
No, not a hobby. He's going to school for that.
He's going to fly school.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah,
but wouldn't say right now to that. You go, he's going to be a pilot.
Yeah. All right.
Be more definitive about that.
All right, Laura. All right, we give you our blessing just because we hate your dad and like see you out of the house.
What are you scared of?
What?
What are you scared of moving in together?
Well, my mom is very supportive of it. My dad doesn't like it at all, even though my brother is cohabitating with his now fiance in Ohio. My dad.
Laura, you have the strangest way of expressing yourself.
Yeah.
I honestly, you're so interesting. All the usual sort of nuances of language have been sort of tossed aside by Laura.
Yeah.
You know, right now, he's going to become a fighter pilot. It's like, what? And we're cohabitating. He's living with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Why are they cohabitating?
What
are you living Amish?
Like,
are you
like
an Amish or something? Wait a minute. Are your parents Amish or something?
Or Shakers.
I'm an hour north of Pittsburgh, so no, I'm not Amish.
All right. Well, listen, go Steelers. I mean, you should go too. Get out of there and go see your boyfriend. Yeah. I'm sure it's not going to last, but you guys hang out for 6 months and
she
you come back
so
and your dad says, you're right. Yeah. You know, cadence.
Very interesting. Very unusual.
Yeah. Genevieve has it. They've sort of, you guys were like separated at birth. You both have an interesting cadence to you.
You have an interesting cadence, but her language is normal.
Yeah.
That's what my problem is.
There's an interesting.
But you don't have that Minnesota. I can't even do that.
No, you
I
don't
can go
have
there.
That. Oh, I bet you can. Yeah.
Minnesota.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Yeah, it seems like you've worked to overcome that.
No, I've just been gone a long time. That's just what happens.
Yeah, that's not an accent you're going to stay with if you move out.
That one magically goes away. You know
it comes back when you go home.
It's one that people seem to be able to drop as opposed to the
Southern
draw.
Yeah. Even New Jersey.
Even New Jersey. They can't, New York, they can't drop that one.
Yeah.
The Minnesotan people I know, and I know quite a few of them, they just seem to drop it magically, and they pick it right up magically.
Yeah, because it's not a lyrical issue. It's not a pitch.
We're magical people.
There's no pitch issue. It's a pronunciation of vowels.
It's our O's.
Yeah, it's purely the about.
Yeah,
right.
It's almost like slang.
It's
we
Canadian.
Can't just drop it.
All right, let's take
it's close.
No.
It's close.
They say a boot. We say a boat.
Okay.
Wow.
I'll buy that.
She's right.
She's right.
I can almost tell.
Very Canadian, you guys. I know.
I can almost tell the difference between those two pronunciations.
Genevieve Gorder here tonight. She is from TLC's Town Hall. All right, hold on a sec. Drew, come on.
I beg your pardon.
Stop cramping on me. I'm doing something here. Saturday nights, 10 o'clock, TLC's. Yes, go ahead.
All right, we do Last Night of iPod Shuffle again and 20 free songs from iTunes. The bumper you will hear is Float On by Modest Mouse sometime in the next hour and a half or hour and 35 minutes and 10 seconds, if I'm Laura. And when you hear the song, dial 1-800-LOVE-191 to be the first person to say iPod Shuffle, and you win the songs and an iPod Shuffle.
All right, fair enough. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191-er. That's not the song, is it? Is that the song?
No.
Modest Mouse?
That's not the
They wouldn't shoot that off at the beginning of the show.
Why not? What do we care? Just give away most goddamn things. Let's get it over with.
Well, here's the other thing is that they'll start bombarding Brian with a billion calls for the next half, 45 minutes. So.
I swear to you, Genevieve Gorder's here tonight from Town Hall. Saturday nights, 10 o'clock, TLC. Also, of course, Trading Spaces. What's going on with Trading Spaces? Or have you moved on and they're just showing reruns?
Well, a couple of us have moved on to other things. I still do specials once in a great while. You can't always chop off the hand that, you know, got you started. So
are they talking to you now, like network people, because of the success of, like, Extreme Home Makeover and that kind of stuff? I mean, it's got to be shows wanting to rip it off and do it on a network. I mean, you know, Big Three network.
Absolutely. I mean, well, you saw what happened after Strange Spaces, too. There's like 50 new design shows, and some of them are so similar. It's just ridiculous how that medium in particular kind of repeats itself. Isn't that creative? But, I mean, I'm sure the show that I'm on now will get ripped off at some point. I guess you have to consider it flattery.
Yeah.
But I think a couple of us left Trading Spaces and went to different channels, and Doug and I stayed because we found a good home. And it's just working.
There's definitely take it from guys that have been around a couple different networks. It's nice. You make friends. They treat you right. They trust you. They leave you alone. It's like any relationship. Like, I don't care if it's your maid or you're the gardener or it's your gardener or you're the pool man or it's your pool man. Whatever it is, after a few years, you trust people. You know them. They do a good job, and you get to do your thing. You don't have people looking at you and bothering you and second guessing you all the time.
Well, the biggest thing is that you just have enough room for your creativity. And people let you do it.
You got to earn that trust.
Exactly. And so after 5 years of Trading Spaces, the trust was there, and thus, you know, I wrote this show. So that was it.
I was just laughing, thinking, or this iPod Shuffle thing where, you know, why don't you just give it away? Radio stations do that thing where it's like, 106.7 K-Rock, caller 107 is going to get themselves tickets to you two. And then the poor the phone op is like,
Call two, call three.
I sit there watching. I just thought they were kidding. I just thought, you wait 10 minutes and you pick the guy up. We got a wiener. But no,
there's never 107 callers.
No, they do.
Yes, they do.
You can watch them do it. Yeah.
That's how stupid radio guys are. Like,
yeah, who would know if they didn't have 107?
Nobody would know, but the FCC would close the place down because someone would sue because they were caller 86, but in reality, they were 106 and they want their Schwinn mountain bike. Meanwhile, the poor spaz that's answering the phone, the van driver, it's answering, it's like, 57, no, caller 58, caller 59. Call 60. Call 61.
Poor intern making $2.
Yeah. How about just the first caller that gets in gets the Schwinn bike? Got to do
106.7
callers?
That's just as big of a challenge to be the first caller.
I'm fine. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Maybe a bigger challenge to be the first one than the 106.7th caller. But the poor operator doesn't have to. 87, 88, call 89. Thanks for calling. That's why they busted
up
everyone.
Some of that, I think, is the guys on the air screwing with the callers.
Do you think so?
That's what I think,
screwing with the callers.
They're screwing with the phone.
Phone screener Brian in here is having flashbacks. He used to do it, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
why not make it 2,500 then?
Chris used to do that.
Yeah, Perez. That's where he started off.
Oh, Chris.
I'm surprised he's not still doing it.
The legendary living at home, Chris. He's the engineer that usually fills the huge Birkenstocks left behind by engineeress Michelle.
Huh?
Yeah, that's him. Oh, my God. You tell him to answer phone 100 times. That's 2 days.
Oh, yes.
Are you kidding me?
2 days. That's being kind.
Yeah. The winner will be announced Monday.
That's good.
It's Thursday. All right, let's go. Come on.
There you go. Break it down, Adam.
Break
it
down. Come on. Let's go. Let's
get
it on.
I'm used to it. Whatever.
Yeah, we gotta get it on.
She claps. You like that? She goes claps like this.
Yeah.
Cool.
Jade.
Hello.
You're 17.
Yes.
What's up?
Hi. I had a question for Dr. Drew. Mm-hmm. I know you have triplets, and yes. I'm a triplet. I have two brothers. Mm-hmm. And when we were little, I don't know how common this is, but we developed our own little language.
Yeah, it's very common. And, particularly under, you know, three, in that range, sort of 2 to 3. Mm.
But this, we still use it.
What does it sound like?
To this,
say something in, yeah, say something in triplets.
Say the N-word.
The F word. Say the F word. Just
oh yeah.
Be less offensive.
Cuss words.
Oh. Okay.
Well, how would we know? You're in triplet language.
Right.
Say, I want to go get a glass of water in your language.
Oh God, I don't know. We would just say like a nickel bob or reshake or just it, crazy. People say it sounds like rushing or something.
And what were they? That were referring to certain objects or is
yeah.
that an activity?
Or like our mom and dad like. Just crazy things. I don't even remember making them up.
What is your mom?
My mom is Madi.
And dad?
Badi.
Yeah.
All right. It sounds like a retarded kid saying mom and dad. Listen, it's more obnoxious than those Trekkies with their god-awful languages. And they always end up sounding like the same thing. And then when you break them down, it turns out they have 8 words.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, that's enough.
And it is common, and sometimes it does sort of does stay through time. Sometimes the reason it stays is because it's sort of reinforced by adults. So, you guys have a language, and tell us what you're doing. And but it can be quite elaborate sometimes, and it can precede English. It could be the language that you actually use to communicate before you get a formal language.
Yeah, my brother's girlfriend actually came up to me, and she kind of was freaked out because he used it, I guess, during an intimate moment with her.
Oh, no, that's a problem.
What did he say?
Yeah. By the way,
Maviv.
He got freaked out.
What did he say?
Mama Bumba Juba.
He was telling her he loved her or something, and it was during.
What did he say? How do you say that?
I don't know what she said. He said just gibberish.
But it's your language. You should be able to say I love you.
Snalinar?
Snalinar.
It's like Dutch.
No, this is Dr. Seuss language.
You know, it's funny too. They always, whenever they do that thing where they interview insane people and they're like, they're were abducted or they're part of an alien, whatever. And then they end up asking him what the language sounds like. It always sounds like the same nonsensical, crappy, stupid gibberish. Yeah, it's always ridiculous, but it's always the same. And we're always excited because it's like, oh, you're from a different planet? Yeah, and then they put them on your trance. And they're like, speak in that language. You know, like, knee beep, shmeek, ming, ming. And it's all like, yeah.
But she shouldn't be grossed out, right, that he used that language? Because that's probably the most dearest and loving language he has.
That's right.
Yeah, but
there you go.
She should be freaked out that the girlfriend sought fit to tell her.
Yeah,
guess what, your boy? You know, yeah. When your brother was on top of me the other night. Actually, it wasn't on top of me. It was doing me wheelbarrow. You know, technically, but figuratively on top.
He said, Snow,
he said,
Snow,
and then he yelled, duck.
That's sexy.
I'm Snadler, no! I'm that brain!
Body. Yeah. It's kind of gross. It kind of dirties the language
suck
a little
schneezel.
Bit.
Suck that schneezel good. Yeah, it's hot. That is so hot.
Yeah, you like
stupid
a little snickersneasel.
Dr. Seuss on top of you. Ridiculous. All right, you don't tell everyone. Look, let me just say this, everyone. Don't feel compelled to tell everyone you're embarrassing, weird, like, hey, you want to talk about uncomfortable. Last night when I was being intimate. Speaking of uncomfortable, this is uncomfortable. Right, you?
Yes.
Your uncomfortable moment from last night, now uncomfortable for me.
Multiplied. It's my brother you're talking
about. Yeah, put a couple zeros behind your uncomfortable moment of last night, and that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable means shut up. Don't go telling everyone, getting weird on them. Thank you, Drew. I know you agree with me on this
one. Of course I do. Well done.
Bravo. Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. Tyler? So much straighter than hooray.
Yeah, hooray's
how
like...
How gay is hooray?
Yeah. Where'd that come from, anyway, hooray?
I don't know. We had huzzah, I mean, you know, the founding fathers. Well, they brought it over. Yeah, they brought it with them. They packed their huzzah up in a steamer trunk and they brought it over.
We got to, somebody's got to call us and tell us when huzzah became hooray.
Hooray is so gay.
Hip hip huzzah. Oh,
they say hooray in England. They say hip hip hooray in England.
They
lot.
Do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but the huzzah.
But
came
the
over.
Huzzah.
Yeah.
Huzzah.
I think it sounds more military.
You feel
maybe it was like a class thing.
I think
the rich
for
people
kids.
Said huzzah.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe,
or
maybe the peasant said hooray.
Or maybe as we got all these ethnicities in, it just got switched.
Right. Everything else.
I think kids are more comfortable with the hooray.
Sure.
But as you become an adult, especially male, that hip hip hooray.
Well, who says hip hip hooray? You?
Yeah.
When?
Hooray. Hooray.
Well, I do
well
that. I do
who
that.
Who says that?
Because I do, because it'll be someone's birthday or something, and I'll go, you know, three cheers for Stan, hip hip, and everyone has to join in.
You live like in the British colony or something?
It's funny, yeah. You could be at a funeral.
He lives in 1780, did you know that?
You could be
visiting
the
us from the past.
The old colonist.
You could be standing over just an open casket and go, three cheers for that guy. And everyone look at you weird. Then you go, hip, hip. And everyone yell, hooray. Like, you have to answer,
he was
hooray.
A good man. Hip, hip.
Yeah.
Let's start a movement.
It's like
just
not...
start saying huzzah.
Oh,
yeah.
He started it.
It starts
right here, right now.
It's huzzah.
Huzzah to that.
It's like a knock-knock joke. You know, you got to go, who's there? You just have to go, who's
right,
there?
Right.
You could be clinging to life with a car pinned under a car.
Someone
you'd have to go,
knock, knock.
Who's there? The paramedic said knock-knock. You'd have to
You have to finish shaving a haircut.
SUV rolled over on you. It's got you pinned. You're clinging to life. You'd have to finish, Drew.
Oh, my.
You have to.
I know.
All right.
What can you do?
I
huzzah.
Just say,
huzzah
we replace
that.
Hooray with huzzah.
What's your sign, Drew?
Yeah.
Virgo, what
yeah.
are you?
Gemini.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that explains everything.
It's a
yeah.
tricky mix.
Huzzah.
Huzzah for you guys.
Yeah.
What are you, Virgo?
Leo.
Yeah.
Is he a little organized, Dr. Drew?
Yeah. Drew's organized, yeah. That's
and you're
him.
Kind of two-faced?
Yeah, no, actually, I don't have any
four-face.
Of that. No, I mean, look, you can read enough of that.
You're already a contractor, but you're sitting in the radio studio. I got it. That's
yeah,
all
yeah.
I need to know. Two
yeah.
men living in one body.
I don't really have two personalities, so.
He barely has one.
I barely have one. I got half personality. Let's take ourselves a little break. Genevieve Gorder here tonight. She is from Town Hall on TLC Saturday night, 10 o'clock.
Thank you.
And, of course, and, some reruns of Trading Spaces.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
What was in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
It's Huzzah, Love we're
line.
Back.
I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Genevieve Gorder's here tonight. She is from Town Hall on TLC, 10 o'clock, Saturday night. Yeah. So are you out here? Where do you live?
I live in New York City.
Oh, you're out here just doing press and
I'm
that
just
kind
out
of thing?
Here, yeah. I'm just hanging out and seeing some friends and going doing a lot of work stuff, too. But it's nice to be in some warm weather for a little bit. It's freezing in New York.
Yeah,
that's, what, snow
they,
last week, yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah, it's winter.
Yeah.
Fathom that, L.A. people.
Yeah.
This is winter here, too. This is it.
This is about as much winter as we get. I mean, even though we've had
some rain,
16 feet of rain in the last hour and a half, we still got to conserve. Yeah. We're in a drought area. This
not
is a desert.
It was penalty
desert,
for water use.
Desert. Oh, speaking of the water Nazis around here,
yeah.
Just speaking to Genevieve, who shares our...
I'm a water Nazi?
No. I was I'm going to get to that, but we both share a passion for home improvement
yes,
and all
do.
That stuff. I had this great toilet in my house that was, I had this all green bathroom. They used to do bathrooms in these great colors where they would do the tub.
As you should.
Yeah, the tub was sort of this mint green. The sink was a mint green and the toilet was mint green as well as the green and black tiles and
you
everything.
You can't find that anymore. You can't
no,
find toilets
it's,
like that.
It's awesome stuff. This toilet was about two stories high with the big green tank and the green bowl and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I bought the house, I walked right in the bathroom and said, wow, look at this. This is awesome. I love this toilet.
Most people would tear it up, too.
when I took possession of the house, the toilet was gone.
No.
They took the toilet?
Ripped out. No, the DWP... When the house changes hands,
no.
You have to go.
The tank's
to,
too big.
Have to go the low volume.
Oh,
you know
my
the 1.6 gallon. Whatever.
Inside the toilet to.
Of course.
One would think they could have thrown a goddamn brick in there, but
yeah.
The problem is if they put a brick in, then I would take the brick out, and so they couldn't have that.
Oh, what
point
a shame.
Is they undid the toilet and threw it in the closet. Now, obviously, it could have been chipped or wrecked or whatever. But the second thing is the way the toilet was hooked up in the old 20 style, the water feed was up at the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way they are at the bottom, the way they are in the new toilets mm-hmm. are down at the bottom. So I had this big channel of open tile where, you know, and this
and
sort of...
you can't find tile to match it to cover
No, and this sort of jerry-rigged hose that ran across and went under the Sears toilet for $68.
I hope you
put
your old toilet back.
Of course I put it back, you Nazi police, you retards, coming into my expensive house, yanking out my toilet, leaving weird exposed pipes hanging out of the wall, and then... Are you...
What the F is going on in this country?
You can come into someone's house and swap the toilet out?
Never heard of it.
Oh.
That's L.A.
It's a California thing.
That's an L.A. thing.
That's why I live in New York.
But it's all right. You can build on your garage as whatever you want.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you
sure.
can change the...
No, you can't do anything in L.A.
You can build a house out of cardboard.
Just a bunch of
sell it for $300,000.
Pussies. Yeah, I know. This town is
why
just...
are you living here?
It's a good goddamn question. I'm this close to packing up my huzzas and getting out of Dodge.
No huzzas for you today.
Coming into my house, taking my toilet apart, moving it into a closet, putting on crappy toilet. You know, I'm sure I paid for the crappy toilet, which I got rid of. And the stupid...
Don't we have bigger questions than this, Dr. Drew?
They're waiting through the toilet talk.
No, I'm not done.
Okay, we'll talk about this later.
All right.
Moving on.
All right, Tyler.
Wow, he responded to you. That's amazing. How'd you
woman.
Do that?
Come on, you gotta think of more building stump questions. Yeah.
Any more what? My phone's starting to beep in my ear because it's dying. I've been sitting on hold so long.
Uh-oh. Careful out, Tyler.
Go ahead.
Like, every time my boyfriend and I have sex, afterwards, I get lockjaw, like, in the left side of my jaw, and it lasts for about a half an hour.
You get lockjaw, meaning your jaw locks open?
No, like closed, and when I open it, it pops really.
So you get spasm of the muscles controlling your jaw.
Not really. It's like it locks and I can't open it. And if I try to open it, I have to force it and it just kind of pops. And...
All right. Is this oral sex or intercourse?
Both.
Well, obviously it's the oral sex that's giving you the trouble unless you're...
Well, I mean, I don't even do that
if you
often,
can be, you
so
can be tense, gritting your teeth, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I mean, usually when you the problem that happens with jaws and oral sex, they dislocate.
Yeah,
the jaw dislocates and slides forward and gets locked open.
Then it's time for
a
boyfriend.
And so people get it's the two big things. You don't like that.
I did
and
that so, to a lady once, but not didn't get wide. It went past each other.
Yeah,
the teeth went past each other.
Right.
Dislocated.
Looking for the penis.
The uppers got actually lower than the lowers, and they passed each other. Yes. And it, my penis is able to bend like a pipe cleaner.
Sure. Well,
it's awesome.
But yeah,
same size as a pipe cleaner too. Strange.
Yeah.
Anyway,
like an engine crank. You know, it's
yeah.
got shape.
Could it be?
You know?
It could be like a weird condition.
Well, I think it's kind of weird though because we don't have oral sex all the time, and I don't even.
But
do
is your mouth open? Are your mouth open and you're kissing?
Not really.
Did you get lockjaw as a kid?
No.
Well, you have, this is all part of the temporomandibular
joint.
Probably
has nothing to do with the sex. I think she's grinding her teeth at night.
Right. It's all part of the temporomandibular joint syndrome. You need to see a dentist about this. They may give you a bite plate. You may well get to the thing where it locks open, too, and that's not fun. You have to go to the hospital and have that
relocated. I could
get it
shut.
And it's not locked open. It just like it.
All right. We got that, Tyler. But you got to see a dentist about the TMJ syndrome you get.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spasm of temporalis muscle. The muscle that goes all along in here. Comes down into here and just spasms.
Overuse.
Chelsea.
Hi.
22?
Yes.
What's up?
Hi, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Chelsea.
Good.
Hello, Genevieve. I love your show. Everything. You're totally awesome. I'm actually going to school for interior design.
Look at you.
I just wanted to know, and it's kind of cliche question, but your inspirations. I know sometimes you get ideas from artwork and things like that, but, I mean, how do you come up with such...
Like an idea, a concept.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we were all talking about a little bit earlier, and I think it's true in design that the more you see and the more you do, the more you experience outside of what you know, the better designer you'll be always. So I always say, especially to young people who are wanting to be designers, that the best way you can do this is to travel and get out of your world and go and experience every sense you possibly can, every taste and smell and color, and bring that back. Otherwise, you're just going to keep making these beige oatmeal houses.
That's why I got that TiVo, by the way, so I could really go experience other cultures, other worlds. child.
She's not talking about porn, Adam. Not just
porn. Hey, you can be inspired
anyway.
By porn, too.
Yeah, not just. That's what I said. Not just
absolutely.
Porn.
Absolutely.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah, baby. But you just have to take Mother Nature's the best designer. Okay. So take flowers, you take vegetables, you take fruits, you cut those open, there's your color palette, and there's your start. But your concept has to come from something you've done in your life or something someone you're designing for has experienced.
You know,
tap in and be a good listener.
The blowhard I hate is...
Good luck.
There are no straight lines in nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Yes, there are.
And yeah, probably are. I'm sure they're plenty straight. Bamboo seems pretty straight to me,
by the way. I've seen a straight rock.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of straight lines in nature, but I like that. It's a weird sort of retardoism that...
when people fall back on aphorisms, it means they don't know what they're talking about.
No.
Exactly. All right, but can... All right, we're,
or
we're,
what is that time. Called, an aphorism?
Aphorism.
We're going to take a break. It's blowhardism, too.
Blowhardism.
We're going to take a little break. When we come back, though, remind me to ask Genevieve whether she thinks that people can... be good at design who aren't good at design. You can improve.
I know the question.
You can improve, but
let's talk about this.
You know, as it pertains to music or acting or whatever,
can you really
be good at something you really just aren't good at?
Yep.
All right? And then who decides what's good?
Yep.
You got it.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Yeah. Drew gave me taffy.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
I can't talk.
Nothing more fun than listening to people eat on the radio.
Mm. Just talking. Especially Adam can't breathe with his nose. Just
oh, you're one of those guys? Oh, yeah, I hate to sleep next to you.
Mm. you don't know.
Well,
huzzah.
First, let me say
Drew
this.
Who knows?
We're not sleeping.
Out of that.
When I'm done, I'm leaving. All right, that's number one. If I do get too drunk and have to crash out, I'll do it on the sofa.
You must have the doggiest breath in the morning. Big mouth breather.
Well, maybe. You know, I get the cotton now.
Yeah.
Well, your throat must be dry, too, huh?
Yeah.
You get the lockjaw?
Yeah.
Just when he's having oral sex with his buddies.
I do, yeah. No, I'll tell you what you get. What you get is you get a nice mouth full of sawdust. You know, really get the cotton mouth, although it's been raining so much over the last few months in Los Angeles, and it's so humid that you just don't really, if you never...
It's not as bad.
No, I mean, go to Vegas, go to a hotel room in July, and it's just, you wake up, and your eyelids are like spot welded, closed.
Do you have a humidifier?
No, you mean like in my house?
Yeah.
No, I haven't got that going.
Fill the bathtub with water and leave the door open.
That's a good idea.
I do that in every hotel room.
Oh, you do?
Because it's really bad traveling.
I heard somebody, I think Dickie from the Boston's, I don't know why, I think it's him, told me that before you go to bed, especially, you know, we used to go to Vegas a lot, do crank anchors. You go to Vegas, and like I said, during the summer, it's so dry.
Crazy. Yeah.
He said, take a glass of water, a couple of glasses of water, and just dump it on the carpet right by the edge of the bed.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It just evaporates all
Same
night.
Same thing, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It works.
Closer than the tub, but not as much volume.
I love that.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do it there.
Yeah, you pee there.
I pee there. I pee on the carpet. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I know, I understand.
Okay.
Why waste the water? Just go ahead and pee.
No. Well, I'm drinking the water while
I'm
urinating.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right, Drew, I don't...
Huzzah.
Huzzah. Huzzah.
That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah. But before we left off, I was asking Genevieve about style or taste or design, and if you think people can... If someone can get it who doesn't obviously get it, you know, are you born with it? You think like you are like a musical. Doesn't people have a musical ear or a green thumb or something like that?
That's true. I was a teacher, design professor for a couple of years as well. And I think the hardest at the School of Visual Arts in Manhattan. And I think one of the hardest things, and I actually said it to a couple students because I know it would be harder to hear after they were out of school. But sometimes you're not meant
How'd they take that?
What you go to school for.
How'd they take that?
Terribly. And, you know, of course they're not going to be happy about it, but I hope that they come back 10 years later and say, you know, thank you, because you would have wasted a lot of years of your life and you would have had a lot of rejection.
Keep waiting.
Well,
that's
design
not going
to
happen.
I mean, design is something...
They'll have their own TV show soon.
Design is something... I think that's pretty intuitive. There is no, like, you can't ask me a question or stump me because there is no right or wrong answer, per se. It isn't a literal science. But I think you're born with
an
eye or you're not.
Yes.
And you see the world through design or you don't.
I agree, but there's a lot of people that think they're born with the eye and don't realize they don't have the eye. And there's a lot of people where it's an attractive life to them. Oh, an interior designer.
It seems very glamorous.
It seems cool, especially to a lot of women and a lot of gay guys.
I bet, though.
But, yeah. Well, there's nothing, you see... It's sort of like actors in the mm-hmm. sense that someone can be banging their head up against a wall for 20 years in this mm-hmm. town, and there's nobody who could tell them they can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is sort of one of those things, too. But also, you see people that just have done horrible jobs in their own homes.
I bet there are people like your mom that go, well, that's your idea of good design. Well, mine is something else. Yeah. Right?
Exactly. If it makes them happy in their own home, let it go. But if they're trying to be a decorator or a designer do it to other people, then you got to say something. But there's a big difference between decorator and designer. Mm-hmm. And decorator is more of a hobby. Design, you're trained. And there are definitely rules that you know this color will work with that color. It's just a given. Mm-hmm. And decorators may know this. Designers try and break new ideas through and design bigger structures and bigger concepts than just the aesthetics, just the superficial. Does that make sense?
No. I'm lost.
Right brainers, you know what I'm talking about.
No, everyone, your mom's goofball friends considers yourself a decorator.
Put up a wallpaper border and they think they've done
design.
The room.
Yeah. Right.
No, there's various levels.
Yeah. All right. Do you enjoy the design and aircraft and automobiles and bridges and everything?
Everything I see.
All right. Favorite car. You got a favorite car?
Carmen Ghia.
Oh, really?
That's nice. The Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
But if I were a car, that's what I would be.
But you'd like the form, not necessarily the functional aspects of that.
Well, form and function make, married together beautifully, make a good design.
Yeah.
Great form and terrible function is still bad design. It has to work.
Yeah.
My car
sort of works.
What do you have?
Oh, I got things, baby.
I got
time. You can tell me.
I got things.
I saw your pacer out there.
Come by tomorrow. You can help me.
Okay.
I got ideas.
Got some plans?
If you're
a contractor, I'm a designer, we could do big things.
I know. We could get together. First off, we could have a super hybrid child.
But you're a mouth breather, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah, but with your genes and his...
That's right. Your good looks and my genius.
Yeah.
That's condescending. Great. Alex?
And an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Hello?
Big bearded guy. He's moving to Canada. Alec?
Yeah.
Hey, you're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Drew. My general area... what is it? I'm not like circumcised or anything, but there's like this kind of like pasty yellow thing growing, and I've tried to wash it with an antibacterial soap, and I've done anything. Should I worry or go to the doctor or something like that?
It's growing or it keeps accumulating?
Yeah, it just keeps accumulating.
Yeah, that's nothing to worry about. Under the foreskin, you got to just keep things cleaner and drier.
Yeah.
It's just discharge.
Hit that thing with a hair dryer when you're going to get out of the shower.
You got to pull the skin back, get things bone dry. It can be yeast, it can be debris, and it's sort of a common thing under there.
Is there an ointment I could use or something?
I think if you just keep it super clean and super dry, this is the care and handling of a foreskin.
Yeah,
is what prevents that.
Yeah,
you got. You're at 19 now. It's time to do the proper care and handling.
Yeah,
but if it persists and it's uncomfortable, then you should definitely go see.
So Jennifer spent some time
with a urologist.
Sidebar: Jennifer spent a little time in Europe.
My mother's an obstetrician gynecologist, so I know a lot of these things.
That's a lot about foreskin.
But seriously, don't be scared to go to the doctor and have it checked out. The more you know, the better you feel.
That's right. There are no straight lines in nature except
None.
For bamboo.
Start with fruit and cut it open.
Stuff. All right.
It's one to grow on.
So it's nothing to worry over it, right?
No. Now you're becoming a bogus caller, Alex.
Yes.
No, seriously, I'm not.
Well, then just maintain. Well, how about doing what Dr. Drew told you to do?
Hygiene.
Okay, cool.
Clean, peel back, bone dry with a hair dryer.
If it's green, you got a problem, though.
Bone dry.
All right, let's talk to tries to have sex with girlfriend. Internet. It's been on hold for a long
time. Problem.
What, smegma thing?
It's
not the discharge thing.
Someone didn't teach him how to clean it.
Right.
Yeah.
Care and handling
when
of the
he
foreskin.
Was a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
get rid of that foreskin. It's ridiculous.
Excellent conversation to have.
Yeah, but
then
it decreases sensitivity.
Yeah.
So you don't ejaculate so quickly, which is what guys always complain about.
Girls complain about too.
There's no real opinions except for foreskin removal. I think that's how I'll remember him, actually.
It's not gross, though.
Yeah.
No, none of these conversations are gross.
Okay, no, good. Foreskins. All right. I want to talk to, I just want to get rid of some poor people who have been on hold for 94 minutes, such as...
Max.
Max? Max?
16-year-old
Max?
He vaporized.
All right.
You hear it.
Huzzah.
Let's see.
Good night.
All right. On hold for...
48.
Tori?
Yeah?
What's up?
Hey, I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have, like, a boyfriend because when I find out that a guy likes me, I absolutely despise him. But when he starts to not like me and thinks I'm, like, a jerk or whatever, I start to like him. And I can't help it.
All right. Well, that's what you do when you're 17.
Yeah, maybe some of that may be just a developmental thing. Are you okay? Have you had a tough life?
I've had emotional issues with my dad, I guess, but that's about it.
What happened?
Well, when I was little, he used to, like, emotionally abuse me, and I have an eating disorder because of him.
Okay.
Like, because I didn't eat enough, and he made me eat more and more, and, yeah.
Genevieve was shaking her head feverishly. Yes.
Self-confidence issues, sounds like.
Well, okay.
You don't think you're good enough for someone to like you.
You could be describing just a concerned parent who wants you to eat your veggies.
But it wasn't just, like, it was, like, they're a lot bigger than I am. I'm really small. And I didn't eat fast enough for them. And if I didn't, I'd have to eat in, like, the bathroom while they had, like, their TV night or whatever. And I couldn't come out until I was done.
I'm still not totally convinced. Are your parents still together?
No, they're divorced. I used to live with my dad and my stepmom.
What's your dad do for a living?
He really didn't get, like, a real good job because he'd have to pay child support and he didn't want to. So he kind of got paid under the table for most jobs.
Like, by the way, all this stuff about dad, and yet she's living with dad. Where is mom? Yeah. Eating disorder is usually a mom thing, so what the hell here?
Well, I lived with him for, like, 2 years, and it got really bad, and I finally called her and told her, and she got, like, she got sole custody of me.
Why? But listen, most little girls don't move away with dad when the parents get divorced. Mm-hmm. They stay with mom. What's up with mom? She alcoholic, drug addict? What's up with her?
It's just I didn't get along with her. Like, we saw things very differently, and she thought it'd be best to live with my dad for a while, but it didn't work out.
No.
And sorry for sounding like an a-hole, Tori, but so far it sounds like you're the one who's a pain in the ass of the group. You didn't get along with your mom. You didn't get along with your dad. Your dad wanted you to eat faster.
Yeah, first of all, you're in denial about what's ever going on with your mom, because the moms don't go, why don't you just go hang out with dad? You're a little bit tough to deal with.
How old were you?
I was in fourth grade.
No way.
No,
something's wrong with your mom.
All right, hold on. We got to bash on mom for a second. Yes,
something very wrong with mom. Uh-uh.
But most moms would you'd have to pry them from the hands of their mother.
And to go live with an abusive a-hole dad.
Send their daughter to their father's.
A-hole dad that everyone knew was an a-hole.
Yeah, and it is sort of like, well, I was Democrat, she was a Republican.
Yeah, I didn't see eye to eye.
Yeah. So I moved out.
I was eight, and we didn't see eye to eye. What are you talking about?
Make it 10, but the point is out of there. Yeah, something's up with mom, obviously.
Usually.
And either mom was into drugs or booze or something, or mom is just not a very good person.
Emotionally unstable.
Well, there's two options for mom. Intrusive, awful narcissist that drove you away and then didn't care when you left, or a drug addict who didn't feel anything.
Oh, I thought you were going to say secret agent
or
world
secret
traveler.
Agent 99, yes. You could be a world traveler, yes.
Tori?
Yeah?
Hey, tell us the truth about your mom.
I don't really know. She had me when she's really young, so she wasn't very... She wasn't ready to be a mother. She just came into it. So she didn't really know how to raise me that well.
Well, this is where your more profound emotional problems are coming from. The dad is a pain in the neck. I understand that, but you would have managed that if you'd had an adequate attachment to mom.
Yeah.
So
who are you living with right now?
I live with my grandmother.
Whoa. What's mom? What's up with mom now?
My mom, I wanted to go to a certain high school, so I live with my grandmother, and my mom lives like 15 minutes away.
And that's your mother's mother?
Yes.
By the way, again, a mom worth a GD would have used grandma's address and have you living with mom.
Yeah,
something's very wrong.
Are you sure your mom's not into drugs or something that preoccupies her?
She doesn't go out. She is totally against it. She doesn't do anything.
Is she on a bunch of psychotropic, a bunch of psychiatric meds?
No.
What it seems like, I mean, it's obvious why she doesn't, why guys that like her, she doesn't like, because it doesn't seem like either of her parents are very involved or like her.
Right. So it would do two things.
Yeah.
It would expose her to a real relationship, which would be heavy. And two, it would stand out in bold relief against the kind of caretaking she actually got. Right.
Wow.
Which was painful and awful.
Huzzah. All right, Tori.
Yeah?
You should not be a fan of your dad's, but here's the thing. Your mom deserves an equal amount of your hatred as well.
A disproportionate amount.
And I would say more.
Yeah.
I don't know why some people have to pick a side, you know, like, oh, I have a...
declare a major in the parent department.
I have a metric ton of crap to give somebody. I'm going to give it to my mom or dad. No, break it in half. Give them £1,000, give them £1,000.
You hear Adam, he gives it to both his parents
all the
time. And his grandmother gets a fair share, and your sister, and stepmom.
It wouldn't be fair to the one I wasn't abusing.
But don't focus on all this, all the people you hate. Move on and evolve from this. If your grandma's cool, chill with grams and move on. Let your parents do their thing. They're not helping you out.
Yeah,
and
here's
though,
this impossible, good words, but,
yes,
physically impossible.
If you have an illness, meaning a life-threatening illness, i.e., bulimia or anorexia, make sure that's being adequately treated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right, Tori. And just here's the thing. You're 17. Start making friends. Rely on your female
friends.
Good.
Start planning your way to college.
Stop talking trash about them behind their back.
I couldn't do that. I like them too much.
Good.
Are your friends
Count
kind of
your
troublemakers?
Friends.
Huh?
Are your friends troublemakers?
No, not at all.
All right, good. Stay with your friends. Mm-hmm. Don't get pregnant. Remember, all guys aren't your dad, but don't look for guys to do things for you, to make you feel a certain way.
Right.
You feel good about yourself through accomplishments, school, after school stuff, friendships, college, all that stuff, not because guys want to F you.
Huzzah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Two weeks ago, maybe three, our callers decided that no, not at all is the response to every question.
Right.
No, not at all. Not just no or yeah, but no, not at all.
I think they've been seeing...
Oh, do you find patterns all the time? People just copy each other throughout the night?
There's a weird societal sort of denial thing where it started with the athlete in the post-game interview.
Right.
Donovan, you throw 11 interceptions in the first half. Do you think that hurt the team's chances of winning? No, not at all.
And then he repeats the question.
I got to say, though, the interceptions probably hurt us.
Right. That's what our call
is. First answer is just every athlete and every interview, you can't tell them anything.
Yeah, but it's no, not at all. That's not even no, not at all.
And doesn't everyone say literally all the time, when it doesn't mean
literally? He literally jumped out of his skin. I literally jumped out of my skin. Literally.
Yeah, that's another phrase.
Jumped out
right
of my
now.
Skin. Literally.
Literally a millionaire. Literally.
Oh, it drives me crazy.
That's true. I'm literally a millionaire. But I literally jumped out of my skin and my bones literally turned to powder.
And you're still alive.
And were sucked up or smoked in a hookah pipe by an Indian. Literally.
I turned to literally.
Anyone says that, they get hung up on tonight.
I was so startled, I jumped so high, I hit my head on an airplane wing. Literally hit my head on an airplane wing. Literally did it.
It's no grammar anymore in these schools.
Yeah. I know. People have effed out literally. They really have.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything anymore.
Literally, it doesn't. I have to get this.
Literally crapped a buffalo. Literally. Okay.
Talk to Phoebe. Come on.
Oh, huzzah? Someone knows about...
Hey there.
Phoebe?
All right, here we go.
All right. I was just looking in the dictionary, and huzzah came about in like 1573, so that's the earliest. And then that turned into hurrah around 1716, and then they don't have a date on hooray. It just... I don't know.
Bastardized it in America.
Oh, hurrah turned into hooray.
Right. I believe.
Did you...
Let me say, it was hip hip huzzah.
There we go.
Then we screwed that into hip hip hooray.
Hurrah.
Say hip hip huzzah? Or was it just huzzah?
Our founding fathers.
They had hip hip huzzah. Most of them have huzzahs. Yeah.
So the huzzah
of the general. Huzzah
turned into hurrah, which turned into hooray.
Yes.
Exactly.
Does it and say also, why or how?
Dr. Drew, something
wait,
about
wait, hold on, Phoebe. Phoebe, sorry, Phoebe. Sorry. Does it say how or why?
No, they don't have any information under hooray, and then where is
but,
it?
But, I mean, they have a date. They know the day, the year of transition. Was it at a World's Fair or something? What happened?
Okay, it says perhaps from German, hurrah, H-U-R-R-A, is where hurrah with H came from.
I was just going to ask that.
So in 17...
the hooray thing is just pretty... Hold on, I have to look it back up.
Well,
but
we
it
just
pretty much
words.
Don't say anything.
Well,
other
no, think
than,
about it. In the mid-18th century is when New York was getting settled by Germans.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And maybe in Dutch, and maybe that's where it all kind of bled in.
Wow. Riveting.
Riveting, I know.
Phoebe?
Literally.
Literally. I was literally, riveting.
I love these little lessons. Thank
oh,
you.
I hate that.
Phoebe, you had a question?
Oh, I was just going to wonder if things with OCD could be mistaken for anxiety disorders.
Oh, very commonly.
Okay, so very it's possible that it's just OCD and then just...
And vice versa. And, okay. And it's hard to, and bipolar gets mistaken as anxiety disorder too sometimes. And depression gets, you know, these are hard things to sort out sometimes. Depression, bipolar manic, agitation, anxiety, OCD. There's a lot of overlap in those syndromes.
But you were saying pretty much as long as it doesn't inhibit your daily routine.
The OCD?
Matter. Yeah.
Well, if you're having enough symptoms to be thinking about it, you might want to look into
well,
it.
Well, it's just
bit.
Kind of things from childhood, like weird little things, like coming up with little games, like walking to school and I have to step on the leaves on the ground. I can't step on the cement.
Yeah.
Just weird
yeah.
little crap like that.
Yeah. That's
or
OCD.
Can I not say that word?
Those are OCD qualities. And mm-hmm. OCD in our culture is something highly reinforced, right? You're obsessed
yeah.
about
yeah,
school. You're.
I have, I, in high school, I had BFD. I didn't care about anything. I didn't want to study.
You still have BFD, as a matter of fact.
Oh, so
what's that, Phoebe? What?
Oh, they overreact to everything nowadays, so it's like you don't really know what to worry about, like ADD, you know? Oh, my
yeah.
kid doesn't
yeah.
pay
yeah.
They give you Vioxx for everything.
No, that's right. And I think the point being is that when it starts to impair your functioning or your quality of life, that sort of thing, that's when you kind of look into it.
What's the difference between OCD and anxiety? What the symptoms? What's the difference? How do you know?
Well, you can get anxiety over an inability to sort of act out your obsessive needs. So you get anxious because
and
you're not...
Is OCD something that's like physiologically in your brain, or is it more of a nurture thing?
Well, it's all your brain, right? It's all wiring issues in your brain. Okay. The question is how much of
well,
it is
but
set
not,
up...
Well, not everything. I mean, some things your parents abuse you.
Correct. So the question then is how much is it merely genetics that you would have had this no matter what your environment had been growing up, and how much is environment? Mm-hmm. And it's always...
Either way, you should blame your parents.
It's
that's
always an interplay. It's always
nature
an
nurture. Interplay. You pick huzzah. Your poison.
Huzzah.
All right, Phoebe. You have, okay. you have a child? You have a young
yeah,
child?
I do. So I was right. married for more than a year before I had her.
Oh, okay.
If you no, there you go.
Now you're divorced?
Huh?
You're still married?
Yeah, I'm married. Happily.
Oh,
very
okay.
happily.
Oh, wow. Good. Take it easy on that guy. Oh, trying to screw up the kid.
All
okay.
Right. Thanks.
All right. All right. All right. All right. Wow. We rarely get the hang up. Man, yeah. We got the hang up. Right. She beat me.
Well, phones don't hang up anymore. I'm imagining an old phone.
You push a button.
Yeah.
She must have had an old rotary.
Yeah.
It really, it used to be able to take some aggression out on a tough phone call.
Oh, remember that?
You just get...
Because it would ring. It would, like, you'd hear a bell when you'd
hang
it down.
You get the thing, and then you'd get the, hello? What do you mean? No! Wait a minute! I want a second chance! Hello? Hello? And then you just could bang the phone out.
Someone's tangled in the cord.
Yeah, you get tangled in the cord. You could slam it down when you're angry. Payphones beat the crap out of a payphone. You start punching it and whacking it with the thing and stuff. Now everything's got a chip in it. Mm. It's nothing good.
Mm.
Nothing, you know.
It's gratifying.
There's nothing satisfying about
it
all.
You can heave it, but then what are you doing?
You can
still
chuck
get
it,
those
but
old
you,
phones, you,
you
know.
You can, yeah, I know. But no one has them. You can't slam down a portable phone. It doesn't work.
Right.
It doesn't feel right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Drew and I have talked about this in the past. We're from an era where you could punch appliances and get them to work. TV wasn't working,
TV
so
really,
whacking the side of it.
That was the standard. And made that great big tinny deep, like you're banging the chest of the Tin Man.
Yeah. Everyone was Fonzie back then. Just start banging on stuff. You know, toaster ovens and space heaters and stuff. Like, stuff wouldn't work. Like, pow.
That was my dad's job. That's the job of the dad. Hit stuff.
Yeah, just punch stuff.
Appliances.
Now, you can't punch a DVD player or plasma screen TV. Or you know some oven that cooks with solar
convection,
panels and convection swirl reduction system. That's you can't punch anything anymore.
So what are you punching?
You got to punch your old lady. I know it's not popular. I can't. I know it's not a popular thing to say, but I'm trying to be honest.
Yeah.
I get mad at the TV. I call my old lady over.
Yeah.
I punch her. Lovely. She punches the TV. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break.
I think we need one.
Yeah, we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Genevieve Gorder here tonight from Town Hall, which is on TLC, 10 o'clock Saturday nights.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. And so Trading Spaces, is that through or is there more?
It's still going. It keeps going. And
for
going
for
and
you.
Going. For me, it's a very once in a while thing.
Right.
Once in a while. They're like family to me. I mean, you know, I'm on the same network, so it's not really a big hassle. It's so easy now that I'm designing
towns
and restoring entire towns.
Yeah. I guess there's a lot
doing a living room is like I can do it in my sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Drew, you ever do a town?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I can tell Drew's been up to it.
Yeah, I'm designed.
Drew's got no artistic flair at all.
Drew's a left brainer.
He knows what he likes, though.
Yeah, I appreciate
he does,
it.
He does
you're
know.
You're an enthusiast.
Just can't create it. No, I am.
No, he.
Enthusiast. Think about me with cars and
I, you know, an enthusiast would go get something. You appreciate
they become,
enthusiastically.
They'd be a collector. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
But you would dig it, Adam. It's all restorative, kind of revitalizing these old historical
communities. I'm into that.
You would dig it. It's really, really, really fun.
Yeah.
The stuff you find under all these towns that have covered themselves up in the 60s with vinyl siding.
Yeah.
It's little jewels, like your house.
Yeah. You know?
See, we get angry when we see that stuff.
Oh, that's why I did the show. It was making me mad and the imposters.
Yeah, the imposters, like Ty Pennington.
He's not an imposter.
Yes, he is an imposter, everybody. Not a carpenter. Not a carpenter.
He can build good stuff, though, I have to say. You have to see it. You didn't see it. You had him here in a radio studio.
You saw him? He could fire up a table saw and make something?
Yeah, he can. I worked with him for several years. I'm not... Oops, oh. I swore. Sorry.
Anderson, that was...
FCC.
Really? Seen him make stuff out of that? Make cabinet? You think he'd do like kitchen cabinets?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
He can. Honestly, I would tell you if it wasn't true.
Could he do drawers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Seen him make drawers?
I've seen him make drawers. He's made drawers for me.
You think he knows the difference between a dado and a rabbit?
See, I can't answer that question.
All right.
I'm
trying to defend her friend. All right.
Chris.
All right. Now, where are we going?
No more cussing.
Chris?
Yeah.
Sorry,
Chris?
FCC.
Yeah, I'm here.
26.
Yeah.
Came on to the show, didn't know door height, though. Didn't know 6'8". Didn't know door height.
8 foot.
8'0". 8 is 80 inches, but it's 6'8".
Okay.
8 foot's the ceiling.
Let's see,
you're a designer.
I'm a designer.
I'm
not a builder.
No kidding, but Ty Pennington.
He's carpenter. Not a builder either.
Yeah. I say huzzah to him being not a builder. Say that right now.
You got a beef with Ty Pennington.
Well, it's just an
imposter.
Everyone thinks he's a carpenter.
He can really build stuff, seriously.
That's chick stuff. He can't build a house. He builds a house.
But he doesn't build a house.
In the TV show, he builds
all
a house.
All those other people build the house.
I know.
Here we go. Chris, 26.
Sour grapes.
I want to try and stump you, Adam.
Go ahead.
All right. What's a collar tie in a house?
Collar tie. Let's see. I'm going to figure out what a collar tie is. All right.
Sounds like what you did to your first house to sort of shore up the walls.
Yeah. Drew, no help from the peanut gallery.
Is it something you use to put siding on?
No. A collar tie is used in framing.
Yeah.
They have, you know, like joist hangers, Teco clips, and... collar tie would be like a hurricane strap that held.
You're close. You're right. You're right by the joist.
All right. Who makes them? Simpson?
No. You're kind of. You're talking about a hurricane strap for your shear wall.
No. Yeah.
What a collar tie is when you have your ridge beam and then you have your roof rafters. If you want a volume ceiling on the inside. You have it. You have to have some type. Instead of having a lower ceiling joist that sits on top of your top plates, it's higher up, and it kind of.
Oh yeah. I got two of them in my house, and the other one I needed one in. Collar tie. If you got it,
A-frame.
Okay, Yeah, if you got a roof, you got a pitch roof, but it's exposed from the inside.
Yeah,
it's like cathedral style.
Yeah,
yep. College is at the peak.
At the top is a ridge rafter.
Mm-hmm.
The collar tie goes at the top of. If you had a truss set up, you would have essentially a joist going across. Now the top's a rafter, and then you have a joist going across on top of the top plates. Collar tie. You know, in my house, Drew. You know those metal things that stop the walls from spreading.
Yes.
Would be a collar tie.
Really?
So were you stumped or not?
Yeah,
I kind of sensed a little hesitation. I kind of was.
Although collar tie is really a piece of wood.
But that's a metal one.
It can also be metal,
but it
can be a piece of wood, too.
Huzzah. Let's go to the next question.
Collar tie would basically be the bottom of a truss system, right?
I guess it would, because trusses are made by, there's different kinds of trusses. There's scissor truss. There's all these different trusses.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, you had another question.
All right. I'll go that as a stump, but I knew what it was.
It's pretty good. Well done. Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Yeah.
There we go.
What's up?
All right. For a while now, I've been waking up in the middle of the night without me knowing, sleep, trying to get with my girlfriend, and like she'll wake up and she'll be like trying to wake me up, and I'm like, I'm not trying to rape her, but I'm trying to like have sex with her and I'm asleep.
Yeah.
And I do not wake up at all. Now my previous relationship, that was a long relationship, she would tell me I did the same thing, but I never believed her.
Are you drinking when these episodes happen?
I'm completely sober. I don't drink. I don't.
Have you? Do you have a history of waking up sort of screaming in the middle of the night when you were younger?
Yeah,
or even?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do that.
Yeah, this is in the family of night terrors. These experiences you have, and they're not all that uncommon. And people will sometimes get up and tear the room apart. And this, I was talking to a psychiatrist about this the other day. Because we had a patient who was doing this, and it gets worse when they drink. But we were saying, you know, maybe this is where the wives' tale comes about. You know, you don't want to wake somebody up when they're sleepwalking, because they get crazy, they get wild, they'll hurt themselves, hurt somebody else.
Oh, it's funny to watch someone sleepwalk. I mean, don't screw that up.
But they will get violent. They're like confused, and they get violent and agitated and stuff very easily because they're not awake.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, you know, it freaks the girlfriend out, because you can get kind of aggressive about it and you try to commit a violent crime.
What does it stem from, though?
It's usually childhood trauma stuff, and it has a seizure-like quality to it. Sometimes anti-epileptic medication works. Trazodone works at nighttime. There's some medicines you can take at bedtime to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah.
All right, Chris, come on. One more stumper.
But wait.
I
want you to tell Genevieve.
No more home improvement.
Wait. Genevieve has to understand.
Genevieve
that,
burnt out on home improvement.
I know, and she has to understand that Chris nearly committed a violent crime on his girlfriend. A violent crime.
Oh.
I was doing an interview with somebody this evening who brought that up. He goes, well, you know, rape is a violent crime. Violent crime. We're always taught it's a violent crime.
Well,
violent
it
crime,
is right? a violent yeah. crime, but they say it's not a sexual crime.
Right.
It's a violent crime.
Hang a second, Chris.
No, I'm not going into it.
Oh, please. You got to explain to Genevieve. Come on.
Chris.
Yeah. I got
you cool?
Well, let me elaborate on that a little more. She says she's trying to wake me up, and she looks at me, and my eyes are closed.
Right.
And do you say anything to her when she's telling you this? Like, no?
I don't say anything. And she's like, sometimes I wake up and I'm like, I'll be kissing her, and then she'll kind of like, oh, she'll like that I'm kissing her, and then we have sex. But then like, that's kind of like halfway awake, and then I'll go right back to sleep. And then
she's laughing.
She's right there.
She's jovial.
Last night, she had tried to wake me up. And, like, sometimes I'll wake up and my clothes are off, and I'll be like, how'd this happen? I won't even know what's going on. And I'll be like, did you take off my shirt? And she's like, no, I didn't.
Oh, Chris, that changes everything. It's a totally different story than what I just explained to you 10 minutes
ago.
All
right, having a good time.
Rape is something different.
No, it's cool.
All right, any more framing stumpers, Chris?
Okay, what's a cricket?
Oh, a cricket wall?
No, what's a cricket on a roof?
That is the studs that's underneath the, like, the gable at the end. At the end of the wall.
No,
is he wrong?
It's where you make a. It's where you make like a little mini roof, where you know on a roof where there's like the water won't shed off.
I mean, like a parapet wall.
You kind of have to make like a little like let's say for instance like a little hump to make the water flow into a certain.
It sounds like
what
you're describing.
I think he just got stumped by a sleepwalker.
I think it's also cricket. I think the cricket, too, is that the framing on top of the top plate at the end of, like, a pointed roof on a gable wall, too. I think that I think you can classify that as a cricket wall, too. You're saying to move the wall around. All right, everybody.
Huzzah. Well done, Chris.
Huzzah.
Genevieve.
Yes.
Okay. You know what you were saying about how you have design or not? I just graduated. I have an architectural degree.
Uh-huh.
And when you go through college for 5 years and all this kind of stuff for mm-hmm. design, mm-hmm. they don't teach you design. They never say that this is how it is. It's kind of like you have to learn yourself.
Especially
really,
with architecture.
It's really like an open-ended question.
It is something you have to feel, and you have to have, you know, an intuitive sense about it. But I think especially with architecture students, it's so important to integrate design into your learnings, because you're going to be working with designers for the rest of your life, too, mm-hmm. if you're going to be in architecture. But, you know,
it's really one of those things, like, you know, you find yourself fighting with the teachers don't tell you anything. The professors don't tell you. You have to find it your own way. And that's kind of like, you either have it or you don't, like Adam was saying.
Because the teachers want to have a reason for being there, saying there's a right way to do it, a wrong way, and I'm going to teach you how to do it. That kind of validates their position. And you have to have guidance, but you're right. You have to be told that it has to come from within. You have to find your own way.
Huzzah. Sean?
Huzzah.
Yeah, I'm here. I have the definite final answer out of the QPB word and phrase origin book.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that on web.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
this starts with the initials of the Latin words Her solums est perdita, which means Jerusalem is destroyed. And it's like three sentences, so bear with me. German knights, not a very bright bunch, were supposed to have known this and shouted hip hip when they hunted Jews in the persecutions of the Middle Ages. Mm-hmm. Hurrah, by the same imagine, is said to be a corruption of the Slavonic word for paradise, haraj. Therefore, if you shout hip hip hurrah, you're supposedly saying Jerusalem is destroyed, or the infidels are destroyed, and we are on the road to paradise. The mm-hmm. phrase doesn't date back earlier than the 18th century or so. And
boy.
The exclamation, hip, 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 also, or huzzah, an imitative sound expression of joy and enthusiasm.
So huzzah is an imitative sound expression.
Yeah.
So hip,
yes,
hip, sir. Hurrah.
We shouldn't be saying it anymore.
Shouldn't be saying it. We're hunting Jews.
It's a genocidal call to action.
It's the most politically incorrect thing I think you could possibly say. But yeah, it dates back to German knights who didn't quite get what they were saying.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
I don't think we quite got it either.
Thanks,
so,
Sean.
No more huzzahs or hurrahs.
Good times, though, huh?
Yeah, great times. Yeah. Good work
whoop.
Up in Boise.
I think we should just say word.
We're going to take ourselves a little break. Genevieve Gorder here tonight from Town Hall Saturday nights, 10 o'clock on TLC. And we'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Is it Thursday already?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, that's our Friday,
it's
everyone.
Good times. I'm going to see you on Sunday for our winner, another winner to paid the tsunami crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We're going to your restaurant.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, 8 o'clock.
Thanks for telling me at a restaurant.
We didn't have that, like, 100th ownership
it's
in it.
It's literally his. Literally.
Yeah. No, I don't, you know. It's just
I
a small
like
percentage
the
of it.
Like it
I didn't know we were doing that this...
8 o'clock Sunday.
8 o'clock Sunday. Do we haven't talked about this, have we?
No.
Nobody's talked about it, have
I don't
we?
Know where I picked it up. I got it.
All right. Somebody should tell me, thanks.
It'd be a good thing.
All right. That, you'll not be there, people are listening, but you'll be
but
there
you'll meet,
Sunday night.
You'll meet Tom Burbine, who's the Mount Holyoke astrophysicist who spent his entire month's summer salary on coming out here.
God bless him. Genevieve Gorder, here tonight from, Town Hall.
Town Hall Gorder.
Yeah, I got the house.
On
the
TLC
house
Saturday nights.
That's right, 10 o'clock. All right, let's get back to a couple of phone calls here. Speak to Anna, who's 23. Anna?
Hi.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's possible to have postpartum depression if you're not actually a biological parent. I mean, as a nanny.
No. That the postpartum depression is specifically a biological response to the profound hormonal and biological changes of pregnancy.
Okay.
So you can't, now if you're around somebody with postpartum depression, you can get pulled into, depression can be sort of, let's call it contagious for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no doubt that the stress of childbearing can cause people depression, and it being around babies can be very evocative of any deficiencies of your own childhood and pull you into depression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't really sure.
You have to leave children you've been nannying for?
No, I'm not. I don't plan on leaving them anytime soon. But my boss just had a new baby, and it's just been really overwhelming. And I've noticed that I've started to feel really depressed and kind of, well, overwhelmed. It's hard.
Well, that's not postpartum. That's just being overwhelmed.
Yeah, you're just a nanny, and somebody threw another. You're juggling three balls. Someone threw a fourth one in there.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I was just talking to a friend of mine, and she was like, kind of joking around. She's like, "Oh, you probably have postpartum depression." And I was wondering if that's actually possible.
No, but if the mom has postpartum depression, you could sort of get pulled into it.
How's the nanny stuff work? Is that a cool gig?
It's a lot of fun. It's It has its ups and downs, definitely. It's hard
I would make my nanny wear a cape. And remember Phoebe Figure-Lily from Nanny and the Professor?
Yes.
She actually had, like, a cape. She was a proper nanny. I would make her wear a cape. Well, I don't know if it's a cape, but it was, it was like a poncho-y capey thing.
I'd make an umbrella with a parrot head on it, a little pill head.
Why did you become a nanny? Yeah. Why did you become a nanny?
Well, it started a few years ago, to move. I went out to New York for a while, and I thought it would be fun. I don't know. I've always been around children. I come from a really large family. And
are you the oldest?
No, I am the third of seven. So.
And again, whatever deficiencies that result from having been a part of such a big family may be sort of being evoked again here. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
All right. Well, anyway, so if you have depression, postpartum depression, it's just depression.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Say you get a cape, and remember Nanny and the Professor? She would wear a cape, and she'd wear like a almost like a English riding type of hard hat.
Yes, without the bill.
Yeah,
just a little dome.
It was hot. It might have had a little bill. She was very English, super smoking hot.
Good teeth?
No, she had good teeth for it. No, she was hot. Remember how much you dug her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You remember. Was Genie, Bewitched.
Yeah.
And then Nanny.
Yeah. And then spilled into Wonder Woman for me.
Oh, of course. Oh.
And then Charlie's Angels.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And now,
Wonder Woman was hot.
Now it's the Powderpuff Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. A big animation.
I lost you on that one.
Yeah. Well, you can catch up. Sarah?
Trying.
This is her boyfriend. She wanted me to talk to you.
All right. 21. Or however old. How old are you?
I'm 24. She's 21.
All right. Okay. What's your name?
My name's Mike.
All right.
Here we go.
Well, we found out she was pregnant, and we decided on having an abortion, and it's kind of been a really bad situation for the both of us all together.
Why?
Her parents flipped out and called her nasty and told me to get out of her life, and we ended up going through with it, and we got the Mifeprex and the Cytotec and did the medical abortion.
Yeah.
And she was bleeding really heavily after that, so...
Well, what is a side attack? What is it?
It's the misoprostol in the side attack.
That's the chemical
stuff?
All right.
And we went back a couple days after that, and they had to do the surgical abortion to stop the bleeding.
Okay.
Because she was bleeding too heavy.
Happened.
And just tonight, we had an extra pregnancy test laying around, and I told her, for the hell of it, take it, and it came back positive.
Well, it makes you wonder whether there's still some retained stuff in there. I don't know off the top of my head the half-life, but what that tests for is beta-HCG, which is something produced by the placenta. Mm. And I'm not sure how long that stays in your system after the products of conception are removed. But it does make you worry that maybe there's a remaining tubal pregnancy or something left behind in the uterus. So you ought to call and ask them. I don't know the half-life of the beta-HCG offhand.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to thank you, too, because part of the reason we were smart enough to make our decision was from listening to you for a long time.
Drew loves abortion.
No, I don't.
He's got a shirt that says, I heart, and it says abortion.
I heart adoption.
Yeah. Except for it spelled out abortion. He wanted it to say adoption.
Why do you think you guys are screwing me up?
Do you guys have a Planned Parenthood close to where you live?
Actually, that's where we went, and we're kind of dissatisfied with the way they are down there.
Yeah.
Really? Because I was just going to say, if you just need a free checkup or a...
But it's basically free, right? I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it costed $450. It was... Kind of.
Well, not for a checkup, though.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. That's not what we want.
Abortion run for. I could have got you same abortion for $375. Same abortion. Same one.
Don't
literally.
Listen to him.
You got to shop it around. Plus, I could have chewed him down to $350. I could have done that. Drew, you would have been in there. You would have been like, $450. I'll do it myself. Fair. Come on. I'll give you $400 cash. Cash on the barrel head. Come on, sweetie. Shh, sweetie, be quiet. Let me do it. Yeah. Haggling. Is that poor taste, by the way?
Yeah.
All right. So, Mike, next time, don't tell her parents you're pregnant until you figure out, you know, whether you want to get the abortion or not.
You guys are also 21 and 24, so it's really your business.
Right.
Keep that's what we found out the hard way.
All right. Uh-huh. I got to say hi to Shannon. It's been on hold for 1,000 years. Shannon? Shannon's
asleep. Trust me on these things.
22-year-old internet boyfriend says she's...
I think she's 20. She's actually 16. Tell him the truth.
Oh, okay.
It's becoming an illegal situation.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And then, you know, the guy could go to jail. I don't know how they do that, by the way.
He'd go to jail without knowing that he was with a minor.
It happens all the time.
Just from having contact on the internet?
But no, from actually having physical contact when they meet at the mall in 3 weeks.
But unknowingly, really believing his...
Guys get busted. It's like, look, she's a C-cup. She's wearing lip gloss, and she said she was in junior college.
And she's got a fake ID.
You should have cut her open and counted the rings, or you should have asked for a birth certificate. Like, what?
Pop culture, you got to quiz them. It's the only way you can know how old they are for real.
That's right. Yeah. What was the name of the actress that played Blossom?
You can't come up with Maya Bialik.
You can't come up with that, sweetie. You ain't getting on board.
Yeah, that's the secret.
That's how I do it. I have to keep moving it.
She must be in medical school by now.
Yeah, used to be.
She was.
Used to be questions about MacArthur in the Philippines. Now it's that's Maya Bialik.
You're dating yourself.
I know. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Explain life to Genevieve.
Where's the name of the winner?
Oh, guy won.
There you go.
Yeah,
Terry Field, Las Vegas.
God bless you, buddy. You got yourself an iPod. Town Hall, everybody. 10 o'clock, TLC, Saturday night. Go out and watch that. A delight, Genevieve.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming
in. It was a pleasure being
here
tonight. Huzzah.
Our pleasure. Huzzah. I want to thank Engineer Anderson for doing a great job. Engineer Chris for doing a great job.
Huh?
Engineer Michelle for doing a great job. I want to thank producer Ann and junior producer Lauren for doing a great job. And I don't know if you're keeping track, but I knocked like 11 juniors off from last week.
Track,
so she's
God.
Really
she's
working
moving up.
We're going way up. Only 170 people between her and producer Ann now. Brian for doing a great job on the phones. And if I haven't
Corey
thanked you, Corey?
Wasn't Corey on the phones? Who else was on the phone this week?
That was the last one. Thanks, Drew. So until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
It kind of dirties the language
Suck
a little
schneezel.
Bit.
Suck that schneezel good. Yeah. Yeah, it's hot.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.